Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on 4th-and-1.
So, anyways, with that, time, George.
Welcome to 4th-and-1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, even during a bye week, we're going to preview it. And I say that only half jokingly.
People are going to take you seriously on that, unfortunately.
Right, I
say it's that not a bye week. That's 2 weeks from now. What's this? Todd Palmer knows nothing.
That's just my jab at the Jets, who are, of course, winless and the front runners in the I assume it's the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes still, although there was some big news involving Trevor Lawrence this week, too. But for those who don't know, he came down with COVID-19. He's going to miss the Boston College game, maybe the Notre Dame game.
He's going to be missing two games.
Yeah, hopefully Trevor will be fine. But
But if I was him, do you really want to go to the Jets if they're number one? He still has time to decide.
If I'm Trevor Lawrence, maybe I go back to Clemson for another year.
Certainly possible if it's going to be the Jets. I don't go play there. I mean, Cowboys would be cool or like some other team, but if it's going to be the Jets, no, thank you.
Now you could also Eli Manning that situation. If they're not going to move on from Adam Gase or something like that.
Just depends on how powerful of an agent that he has representing him.
Something tells me he's going to have one of the better agents. That the NFL has sanctioned. So
this is what I'm going to tell people right now. If you get one of the more powerful agents who has plenty of quality clients, they're normally an agent that has leverage that you don't want to upset if you're wanting one of those other players in the future. So that's what I'm saying. That's why Eli Manning was able to kind of do what he did, because his agent had a lot of quality clients. And if they wanted to have any chance at some of those clients in the future, you're gonna have to play ball to some extent.
Yeah. So we'll see. And we can have that discussion more in April. But for now, the Jets are coming to town. And I got to be honest. I mean, whether the Chiefs cover the basically 3-touchdown line or not, I don't know. But it's hard for me to envision a scenario where the Chiefs aren't 7-1 coming out of this game. I don't see how the Jets can score enough points to keep up with the Chiefs.
There are scenarios, but I will never speak of them because they cause fear in my head and my heart. So we will never speak of those scenarios. And one of those would be involving a quarterback sneak.
But with the weapons the Chiefs have, they're not 19.5-point favorites with Matt Moore or Chad Henne under center, but they're still probably 2-touchdown favorites, man.
Yeah, no, they should still win the game, but that, that takes a lot of wind out of people's sails at that point. So, I mean, I'm not saying they shouldn't win the game. I'm just saying there are scenarios, and they are intense scenarios where that could be a problem.
All right. Well, so there's – we don't have Debbie Downer on this podcast. We have Negative Nick
That's right. I'm getting T-shirts made. It's just going to be my face smiling about something negative.
Look, think about it. This is how Nick is, within 24 hours of receiving his replica Lombardi trophy. So just imagine how he'd be if it was a regular.
It wasn't even 24 hours. It was like 3-4 hours ago, man. I'm not going to lie. I was in heaven at that moment. I hoisted that thing up in the air. So my neighbors are like, what's going on with that guy over there? But they need binoculars for how far away that they live. My real question is, why do they have binoculars looking at me like that now that I've thought that through my head?
Because I have them spying on you. This is going to be a little bit different podcast. There's just frankly not as much to break down in way of preview. So instead, the C block is going to be dedicated to a really funny and fun interview Mick Schaefer did with Steve Mariucci. There's some great stories about Andy Reid and why his knees are all scarred up and things like that. So I encourage you guys to listen to the end. But I do want to talk a little bit about this game. And Nick, I mean, Sam Darnold's been hurt all year. They obviously got rid of Le'Veon Bell. I mean, does this offense do anything at all that makes you worry?
I'm kind of curious to see how this Chiefs team does whenever the whenever the Jets start trying to run to the right side of the Chiefs defense, depending on who's going to be a defensive end. I'm very curious to see how that one's going to shake out, because the Broncos last week, man, they were wrecking, and I mean wrecking, the right side of the Chiefs defensive line there whenever they were rotating Tano Passanio and Harris there, and they were struggling, man. They were double teaming them. They were putting two tight ends and just washing them to the middle linebacker. I mean, they did not play around whenever they were trying to run on them, and it showed. Frank Clark shut down the other side completely, so that was good on that end. Darnold, I don't think he's gotten better from the time he was mic'd up and said he was seeing ghosts on Monday Night Football. It doesn't seem like it's gotten better for him. So I personally, I mean, look, Frank Gore, it's great that he's still a running back, but it's kind of at a point now where it's like, man, like, I mean, you're getting to that point where you're going to have to start making some decisions, or an NFL team is going to make them for you permanently. So I don't know. I mean, I think they're a football team that if the Chiefs do what they're capable of and focus to the level they can and execute, and you jump on the Jets early, because the Jets are going to give you their best shot, because they want to feel like they want to put good tape out against the Super Bowl champs. Individually, yeah. Each player wants to put out good tape and show what they're capable of if they move on to another team next year. So they want to say, hey, look what I did against the Super Bowl champs. See, I can do it. It wasn't the scheme or the coach that I was well received in that regard. So yeah. I think they're going to get good individual efforts, but I think if they hop on them, go up by 21, just do what everybody's expecting them to, then I think that's when the Jets will shut down and the players will kind of, you know, pack up the circus tent and it'll be kind of done and over with. And hopefully by halftime, to where I don't have to worry about a close football game or any of that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, you know, this could be the type of game where we see Henny time again, just like in Denver, for a good chunk of the fourth quarter. Matt Moore time.
Henny given Sunday, my man.
All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, got a couple other things to clean up about, you know, looking ahead to this game against the Jets and what should be a nice, relaxed afternoon for Chiefs fans. So we'll be back here on 4th & 1.
Chiefs 41 Action News.
Welcome back to 4th & 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. We're talking about Chiefs Jets on November 1st, Day of the Dead, which seems fitting for the Jets season, in my opinion. I got to ask Nick, we kind of hinted at this last week, but how motivated do you expect Le'Veon Bell to be for this one, especially because Adam Gase, the guy who he's had so many run-ins with the last few years, is going to be on that other sideline. And, I mean, he's got to be begging for, what, 3 touchdowns this week, right?
If I'm Andy Reid, and I think this will happen. And like I said last week, I mean, this is something that you can – if you give him 30 touches in that game and you let him, you just let him just run all over that Jets defense and make the statement that he wants to make out there and show that he still has it and that it was Adam Gase and not him. And he may say all the right things and say he didn't have a chip on his shoulder, or, you know, or teammates may help kind of not say those type of things, but show it on the football field in that moment. Like, I'm telling you, man, like I told you, put up a banner that says Adam Gase or have his face on each end zone and let him Keith Cash and throw and spike that football right on that thing. That would be fantastic.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Le'Veon is going to have a hard time falling asleep Saturday night. And it's not going to be because he ate too much Halloween candy. It's going to be because he's keyed up to go just drop kick the Jets. Having said that, like, their offense is historically bad. They're averaging 12 points a game this year. That's 5 points fewer than literally anyone else in the NFL. They're averaging 18 fewer yards a game than the Giants, who are a train wreck in their own right, and 28 yards per game less than the Washington football team. I mean, this offense is terrible. The defense isn't great, but look, Greg Williams gets guys to play hard, and he's bounced around this league as a as a high-end defensive coordinator for a number of years for a reason. The Chiefs can't just come into this game thinking the Jets defense is going to roll over, can they?
No. You gotta treat it as if you're playing the Baltimore Ravens or you're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. You need to treat it with a playoff game mentality, even if it may not be a playoff caliber team. Because yeah, like I told you, man, Greg Williams and that Jets defense, they're gonna bring it. Like, they want to take Mahomes down. They want to get the picks. They want to show Greg Williams wants to show what a genius he is, so he can get another job whenever they blow everything up in New York, whether it's this year, next year, or whenever the owner finally decides that he's willing to, as my former coworker Lee Fleissig used to say, rich people hate to pay people money not to work. It's just a fact, and it's very true. So I always look at when a coach is normally in their last year, their contract, or whenever it's finally at that point where they're like, you know, hey,
he's done.
We would rather pay you 2.5 to 5.5 or 10.5 million to never show up here again versus, you know, do work for me. So, I mean, that's just, I don't know. That's just one of those things that's always stuck with me. So, I mean, each person's trying to put something on their reel or on their resume to remind people that they can blame it on the circumstance of being in New York versus necessarily it was their fault why that team didn't reach its potential.
So what is it you want to see from the Chiefs in this game, you know, to make you feel comfortable coming out of it? Is it as simple as get out of it with no injuries, or do you need to see them, you know, play with some efficiency and kind of show that killer mentality that, hey, we're not going to mess around with a team that's clearly inferior to us. We're going to punch them in the mouth early. Then we're going to step on their necks and make sure they know they don't belong on this field with us.
Second option, because I just got rage in my heart when I heard you say that. It made me very happy. No, seriously. You need to treat this like it's the Super Bowl. Like, you need to go in with a Super Bowl type mindset that this game gets you one step closer to that. And when you have that type of mentality and you play with that mentality each and every week, you put yourself at a certain level. So if you get to that point and reach that point, it's not too big for you, and you're used to turning on that switch and you're used to playing at that intensity and that level. Doesn't mean that it doesn't evolve over time, but yeah, no, it's just a certain mindset I want to see him go out there with, and I want to see him be ruthless, and I want to see him take advantage of whatever the Jets give him. And I want, it's a 12-play drive, it's a 3-play drive, I don't care, but I want to see just sharp execution across the board. I want to see them be able to execute the plays correctly, hold their blocks, do everything they need to. I want to see him be super efficient in the red zone, because the thing that's going to irritate me the most is if I see him be effective till they get inside that 25, then they stumble around and kick field goals. Like, I mean, you just can't have that happen. So, and then defensively, I want to, like I said, I want to see the right defensive end. I want to see them shut down their edge along with Frank, on the opposite side of Frank Clark. I want to see some good things from Willie Gay. I want to see him get better. I want to see that secondary get better. And I want to see them overall collectively get better against the run. So, I mean, I'm not going to be upset if the Chiefs give up some plays, because the Jets make money too to make play, you know, they get paid too to make plays. So, that's going to happen sometimes, but I just kind of want to see a very efficient, effective, focused game.
I'd love to see a perfect game from a kicking perspective from Harrison Butker as well. Sticking with special teams. Look, after Byron Pringle won AFC Special Teams Player of the Week, I want to see what he can do back there. Can he pop another big one back there?
Yes.
Does Byron Pringle, I think he's earned the right to go back and return a few more kicks, and can he make the most of that opportunity, which all the coaches seem to believe he's got the work ethic and the mindset to do. I also want to see, this pass rush. I want to see them gain some confidence, start collecting a few more sacks, and, you know, have this game be one where they can build off of it, take that into Carolina, you know, get, you know, keep generating more pressure, take that week off, and then get ready to go just hammer Derek Carr into the turf coming back out of the break. Because I know, you know, we talked about it. That game, I think, is the next really big game on the Chiefs' schedule. I think that's the one that fans are going to be circling. These next two are two games against inferior teams that they need to get through, and they've got them on the schedule. But the Chiefs are going to be heavily favored in both of them, I think. The next one where you kind of look at and say, so to me, there's some checkpoints, like you said, about improving the run defense, improving the pass rush, showing some efficiency in the red zone, fixing whatever's wrong with Harrison Butker, you know, seeing if Byron Pringle can remain explosive. Those are some of the checkpoints I'm looking for November 1st, November 8th, as the Chiefs look toward building a little bit more into this season.
Yeah, don't you worry. I got that November 22nd circled on my schedule after they did a local bus tour.
Man, circling the stadium.
All the sights of Arrowhead Stadium on their bus tour.
Well, and you know, like I don't want Derek Carr to ruin Thanksgiving for you, Nick. So, hey, but we teased it earlier in the A block. Steve Mariucci, Mick Schaefer. It's some great stuff. Stick around. You're going to hear that interview on the other side of this break.
Best seat to all the action. 7th Street Casino. Sunday Sound Off. An interactive sports show like no other. Answer questions. Voice your opinion. Try your hand against our panel of experts every Sunday night after the news and football.
Nick, it's not often that we have a fun 10-minute interview with the Super Bowl winning football coach. So we're going to make use of that, and we hope you guys will enjoy this in its entirety. Mick Schaefer, Steve Mariucci, right?
And the thing I want to say, thank you to Andrew Howard for getting us this interview. I got to give him props. And also, you can find Steve Mariucci, NFL Network analyst. You can hear him every Sunday on NFL Game Day. I'm telling you, I've been working on getting this interview for a couple of weeks now, so I was beyond ecstatic we were able to get it.
Well, and you're kind of a celebrity over at the NFL Network now after the tweet about the Raiders circle in Arrowhead Stadium. So
I'm going to be honest. I think they've already forgotten about me. They're like, who is this guy?
Yeah. Anyway, I don't think many people in football circles have forgotten about Steve Mariucci. So here's that interview, Mick Schaefer and Steve Mariucci.
All right, we're joined now by NFL Network's Steve Mariucci. Hey, Coach, how you doing? Are you still coach, by the way? It's been a long time. Is it still coach? It never leaves you, right?
I've been called a lot of things in my day, Mick. And coach is the least offensive, right? I mean, I get mooch. I got nicknames. I got names I can't mention. I got, you know, the whole thing. But I think it's a privilege to be called coach, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I love it.
Wait, what about this Chiefs coach, Andy Reid? How many times have you broken bread with Andy Reid? How many times have you eaten a cheeseburger with Andy Reid over the years?
Forget the bread. We go right to the meat, okay? And so when we were kids in Green Bay, you know, our wives and families weren't moved in yet, right? So we spent a lot of time together, and there was a lot of time eating together. And so, like, hometown buffet would just cringe when we walked through the door, because for $8.99, you could eat all you can eat, and we just feasted for hours, and they lost money on us. So, you know, but I like coming to Kansas City, because every time I show up, Andy's got this big spread. We've got brisket and we got burnt ends and we got all that stuff that I can't wait to go back there and eat some more.
We'll have you here anytime, Coach. What did it mean for you to see Andy win the title last year? We talked with you in Miami. I remember you said to me, there's no bad guys in this Super Bowl. There's nobody you're cheering against. Obviously, you had the 49ers ties and everything. There was no Darth Vader in that Super Bowl. It was going to be a win-win for you. What was it like seeing, I know your former franchise lost, and what a great game competitively, but what was it like seeing your good friend finally break through and win it last year?
I got emotional. I swear to God, it was really, you know, he's been so good for so long, and it was time to win one. And now you look at it, it's like, gosh, he might win some more, you know. And you never, there's no guarantees in life, but he found the fountain of youth, I think. And you know, he's like just getting started, because he's got a nice team with a great quarterback and a bright future. But it was just touching to see he and Tammy up there. And I wish I were in the stadium doing the post game interview with them, because I had to give him the longest hug on earth. And
what would have been your first question to him?
How does it feel?
That's an easy one. That's one us idiot sports journalists can come up with.
What do you think? Were we going to eat a cheeseburger? What? That was easy too. I went out there and did an interview. You ever see that scar on his knee? You ever see that?
No, he wore shorts, but I haven't looked that closely.
Look at his knee, will you? Next time you see him. So when we were coaching in Green Bay, my hometown is just north of there in Iron Mountain, Michigan. And we, that's where our kids were very young. And my kids and his kids learned how to ski there. Well, Andy learned how to fall there and blow his knee out too. So that's what happened. He blew his knee out at Pine Mountain, all right, in my hometown of Iron Mountain. And then he had another surgery a couple years ago. But that's kind of our connection, you know, that bad knee he's got.
Yeah. I would have figured it would be an old football injury, but no.
It's maybe I'd open that Super Bowl and say, hey, Andy, how's the knee?
I'll ask him that. Have you gone skiing lately?
Yeah, no.
Let's talk about this team this year. What have you seen from the Chiefs, especially offensively? The team's been slowed. The offense has been slowed at times, and I mean, look, it's all about perspective, right? It's the high bar that Mahomes, the offense, has set, but they're not doing the things they did in 2018. What have you seen that defenses are doing to slow down?
There are other smart coaches in this league.
No, there can't be. No,
guys like defensive coordinators, and defensive coordinators are like in a world of their own. They're all a little crazy, right? So they spend a lot of time, some of these coaching staffs, on how to slow or stop, you know, the Chiefs' offense. And it's not easy. We all know that it's not easy. And it's partly because of the scheme. It's very creative and a lot of fun. Partly because of the personnel, right? Somebody's calling me right here. It's my producer at the end.
Andy?
Hey. Okay, so.
You're doing local TV. You don't need the national TV yet.
I'll call you back. Okay, so listen. So it's a culmination of all of this. It's like, whoa, scary, keep you awake at night. But what I'm seeing is, you know, teams that are making a concerted effort to try to say, all right, how do we match up with these guys? It's almost impossible. Now they go get Lev Bell. It's like another weapon. Oh, my God. You see teams trying to play bump and run. That's a scary proposition because they have so much speed, right? I mean, how do you run with Tyreek Hill? And so they tried to get their hands on them and run with them and make every throw really tight instead of all these little easy zone throws. They're having some success. You know what? I got phones ringing.
You have a landline still, Steve?
I have a landline. I got a fax machine right over here. Can you see my fax machine?
You got that for like November, whenever the signing day in February and all that?
Been there 20 years. It still works. Anyway, so you know, and then you try to stop the run. Good luck, because Clyde is awesome. And I asked Andy, does Clyde, he needs a nickname. He's got too many names, Clyde, Edwards, Hilary. And Andy said something about, yeah, we call him Bonnie and Clyde. Or I don't know what he said.
How about Clydesdale? He's like a horse running out of Clydesdale. That's what I'd call him. A lot of horsepower.
Did you just make that up?
I made it up months ago. It was kind of easy, though. I think it's kind of. We've had a lot of time to marinate on it, but you can take it.
I made up one on that word. I called him the Prince of Hilaire. Remember the Prince of Bel Air show, right? Will Smith.
We've already said Mahomes to El Air, right? That's good, right? Mahomes to El Air, like the.
Yeah, that's good. And so, but anyway, you know, you're just hoping that, you know, they get a penalty or that they'll fumble the ball. They don't turn the ball over very often. You hope that Patrick Mahomes can miss a tight throw once in a while. And then the other thing that you better count on is outscoring them, because they are going to score points. You know, over the last few years, they're the highest scoring team, of course. And so you've got to score 30 points to even think about winning a game. So anyway, fun to watch. Weapons galore. Great scheme. When I interviewed Andy, I said, we learned the West Coast offense together from Mike Holmgren. And I'm looking at your offense and I don't know you anymore, Andy. What is this stuff? Jet sweeps and you got shuffle passes and you got all over this stuff. And he goes, no, it's the same offense, Moosh. And so, anyway, it's fun to watch. This team is built to last, believe me.
Is that how he sounds? Is that how Andy sounds?
I don't know. You know, this time is yours. You know, it's just yours.
Was he even saying that as an assistant coach, like back in the day?
No, I don't know where he got that from. He made that up when he went to Philadelphia.
Yeah, the time's yours. It's great. We have a segment on our Sunday show called "Time's Yours." It's based around Andy Reid. It's great. A couple more here. You know, we talk about you know defenses maybe figuring the Chiefs out a little bit, but it's always like a counterpunch, right? It's always like a chess game, and it seems like every year Andy Reid teams are ready to go out of the gate the first part of the year. Maybe there's a dip in the middle, but come December, he's kind of counterpunched and figured out what defense they're doing, and they just take off. Do you expect that same thing this year?
Well, I don't know about a dip, but I expect them to finish strong because Andy does a good job keeping his team fresh. And that's one of the keys. And if we learned anything together back in the day in the 90s with Green Bay is that we didn't overwork our team, put the pads on a lot, bang them around a lot. We wanted them to be available and fresh for the long run and for November, December, and playoffs. And he does a good job with that. That's why he's good after a bye, because he doesn't wear his team out and overwork them. He lets them rest mentally and physically. Same thing with his team throughout the year. He's smart as to how he practices. He'll get live work with the big guys and all that, because Andy was a big guy. He still is a pretty big guy. He played offensive line over there at BYU too, and then he had punt, pass, and kick. So look at this. So heck with Andy Reid. I got a punt, pass, and kick trophy from 1967 right here. Look at that. Third place. Yeah, I have all kinds of stuff here. Anyway.
Were you twice the size of all the other kids out there like Andy was?
Oh, no, I was kind of just very average Joe, you know, and I still
am. What was your specialty? The punting, the passing, or the kicking part?
Yeah, that's why I took third place right there, because I shanked my kick. Mm-hmm. I was a straight-on kicker. Everybody was straight-on back then. It's like, God, I would have won this thing if my kick didn't go where the heck over there. Anyway. But no, Andy, you saw those little kids standing behind him. They were terrified. Oh, my. Where were we?
I don't know, and I don't care.
I don't care.
That's awesome.
Andy got to start. Andy, I don't even know if they're doing punt, pass, and kick anymore, are they? Andy should start that up.
I don't think so.
Andy should start that up. That would be a good thing for him to get involved with. You know,
the Andy Reid Punt, Pass, and Kick Academy right there.
Yeah, the academy, like the Manning Academy down there. You can develop quarterbacks. Well, Andy can develop big guys that punt, pass, and kick, right?
That'd be great. Awesome. Coach, Mooch, Steve, whatever else you're called, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Nick Jacobs, first of all, great interview. How quickly would you sign up for Andy Reid's Punt, Pass, and Kick Academy if and when he starts that?
If there's not COVID-19 involved in it, I'll be there immediately. I'll just bask in whatever he's doing. I don't even need to execute whatever it is. Like, I'll pay the money just to hang out and hear his wisdom.
Can we – now, how are we going to transpose, like, letters, like vowels in your name? Can we call you Nick Jokabs, you know, and put that, like, on the back of the jersey for when you – do the punt, pass, and kick thing, just like they misspelled Andy Reid's name on it when he did it back in the day?
As soon as I saw that jersey, I'd be like, I'm not wearing this until you get this correct. How dare you insult my family name like that?
What if it has, like, a Wendy's, like, sponsor patch on it, and it still says Joe Cabs on the back?
No, not doing it. You got to spell that last name right, okay?
Yeah, put some respect on that name.
Exactly it. Okay, that's a very special name. I take pride in that last name, given the lineage that it was passed down on. So,
all right,
I'm just saying that's the one thing you're gonna get right on that jersey. I don't care if you make it look like a NASCAR car with just sponsorship everywhere. That last name better be right.
All right. Well, for Nick Jokabs, I'm Todd Palmer.
How dare you? How dare you? I'm walking off if this tomfoolery continues.
I hope you guys enjoyed this week's podcast. We'll be back, hopefully, for a victory edition. Otherwise, I'm going to have to eat my shoe live on the podcast, I think, here on 4th and 1. Take care, kids.